Good morning, church. It's good to see you all. Last day of August. I was in the bank earlier this week, and the teller said, "Can you already believe it's already the end of August?" I said, "I've just got used to saying it's 2025, and we're two-thirds of the way through." So, well, we are also more than halfway through Acts right now, which means that we're more than halfway through this sermon series. You could take that as, yay, we're closer to the end, or we still got a long ways to go. Just keep it to yourself. It's all good. But this morning, we are in a text called from Acts chapter 16. I've been calling this series In the Name of Jesus by the Power of the Spirit. In our text this morning from Acts chapter 16, we see God at work for his redemptive good in a very bad situation. So I'm calling the message this morning, God Works. Because I always believe that God is at work for his redemptive good in our lives, in the world around us. It's just a matter of whether we see God at work and can see that in a way that we can participate in that. Let's pray, and then we'll read Acts chapter 16, and it'll be verses 25 through 34. Father God, we give you thanks for giving us life in Jesus Christ, making us alive again, though we are dead in our transgressions. We know it's by your grace through faith that you have saved us, created us for good works in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, as we open your word this morning, we pray for eyes and ears to see and hear so that we may live this life you have given to us in Jesus Christ, doing the good works you have called us to do. And God, I pray that you'll pour upon me the gift of preaching from your Spirit, that I can preach your word with grace and truth this morning, that your word will be heard to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've always been one to appreciate self-depreciating humor because I have to laugh at myself. Nobody else will. Or they might, but I do appreciate self-depreciating humor. One of my favorite comedians, this might be more of a confession, but one of my favorite comedians is the late Rodney Dangerfield. Some of you know him, some of you are like, who's that? He was known best for his lines, "I get no respect," but was also known for his monologues about my old man. For example, Dangerfield said, "My old man never liked me. When he took me hunting, he gave me a 3-minute head start. You know you're having a bad day. I asked my old man if I could go ice skating on the lake. He told me, wait till it gets warmer. Another bad day there. Humor, of course, is one of the ways that we deal with the bad days that we're having from time to time. We try and find something funny because it's just a way of coping with life. But then there are bad days that turn out to be really awful, where there's nothing to laugh about. And I say that because I've walked through the darkest of valleys, and I've walked through the darkest of valleys with other people as a minister. And there are times when there's so much pain in life, and that life seems so unfair, you just want to cuss and scream because you don't know what else to do. Now that might be me if I were Paul and Silas right now. The text we read earlier begins with Paul and Silas in jail. If you go back earlier in the text and read what precedes, Paul and Silas have been falsely accused. Been falsely accused of what we might call today disrupting the peace, disorderly conduct in public. They were dragged by a mob before the authorities. Just think about somebody grabbing you after having falsely accused you. Dragging you, which is an act by force, and you wondering what's about to happen. I mean, there's a reason why the worst call for a police officer is a domestic dispute, because of the emotions. When people get emotionally mad, they act in irrational ways. They're willing to do things that they wouldn't do on a normal day. Here's a mob dragging Paul and Silas before the authorities. So the authorities have them flogged, whipped, which is a way of humiliating them in public, as well as causing physical pain. And then they put them in prison, where they put them in stocks, which is another way that authorities would humiliate a person. Look at that person in stocks. You can laugh at them. It was a form of corporal punishment in the day meant to inflict pain and humiliation. So you could say it's not a good day for Paul and Silas. I don't think they woke up that morning and thought, hey, let's do something today where we get dragged before the authorities, we get whipped, and you get thrown into jail. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, hey, I want to go to jail today. And yet, as we read in the text, they're praying and singing. Our passage says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. No cussing and screaming, just praying and singing hymns. And an important little detail here is that their praying and singing draws the attention of the other prisoners. I'll be honest, I don't think that would be me praying and singing. I would be pretty angry. But here, Paul and Silas are praying and singing. and it draws the attention of the other prisoners. At first, the prayers of Paul and Silas, the hymns that they're singing, may not seem all that important. However, there's an earthquake. A little over a year ago, I experienced my first earthquake. I was sitting in the campus house, at, the Blue Hens for Christ campus house, in the morning all by myself, and all of a sudden, I feel everything shaking. And at first, I'm like, what's going on? Then I thought, is that an earthquake? Well, sure enough, there was an earthquake. Now, it wasn't a serious one, obviously. But here's a serious earthquake. I remember the 1989 World Series. I don't baseball fans watching, and all of a sudden the screen went black. And there was a devastating earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they had to cancel the World Series because of the damage in the old Candlestick Park Stadium. The second tier collapsed on the first tier. And we've seen news footage of other earthquakes. Earthquakes do a lot of damage. People lose their lives. A lot of property gets destroyed by an earthquake. This earthquake is so violent that it shakes open the prison. It shakes the foundation of the prison. It shakes the structure of the prison. And the jail cells, or whatever it looked like that they're in, they become unlocked. It breaks the stocks that they're in. The chains are no longer holding them. And now is the opportunity for all of the prisoners to escape, which if you're a Roman jail guard, that's the last thing you want. Because it means you're going to pay with your life in a very brutal fashion. It's also a shameful thing. You couldn't do your job. And so the jailer thinks that the only option for him is to take his own life. And so he pulls out his sword and begins to about to kill himself. And Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." We, not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners who are listening to the prayers and the singing of hymns. What should be an awful day now, not just for Paul and Silas, but also for the jailer, is now taking a different direction. I can't help but wonder how the praying and the singing of hymns played a part in changing the direction of the day. The prayers and the hymns are a way of pointing to a different power that is at work here. The second century church leader Tertullian wrote, "The leg does not feel the chain when the mind is in the heavens." The prayers and the hymns become an occasion for Paul and Silas to testify to a different power. It's not the timeless, or it's not the tiresome power of the stocks and chains that are sanctioned by the lifeless guild of Roman power, which is so hopeless that taking one's life seems like the only viable option. The jailer doesn't know what kind of power this is, but he can sense the hope that is emerging here. And so the jailer, with trembling and fear, falls before Pilate, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, in the original language, he literally calls Paul and Silas lords. "Lords, what must I do to be saved?" As though Paul and Silas somehow have divine power and possess the power to save him. But as you know, Paul quickly deflects such glory from himself and places the glory where it belongs. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and all of your household. Of course, he and his household are then baptized because that's part of the process. Brian was baptized a couple weeks ago. Congratulations again. That's part of the process. When we believe in Jesus, that's the next step, is to give our lives to him in baptism. To believe, as the jailer and his household do, is to have faith. And faith is more than just an intellectual or emotional assent. It's more than just saying, well, I believe. Believing is about trust and loyalty, which is why Jesus himself was baptized. Because Jesus came to do the Father's will, and so Jesus placed himself into the trust of his Father, loyal to his Father, that he would do his Father's will. And if you've read the story in the Gospels, you know that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he was led out into the wilderness where that loyalty is put to the test. Because the jailer and his household now believe, they're going to place their loyalty, their trust in Jesus by being baptized. What an incredible turn of events here, right? Here's God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ revealed through prayers in the singing of hymns. Yes, Paul had to go on and explain the word of the Lord to them. But the hope that the jailer could see was first manifested through Paul and Silas singing and praying. Instead of focusing on their circumstances, being in prison, which they could have easily just delved into a pity party, oh, woe is me, where they just somehow wish things could go back the way they were. Man, if we could just go back where we were. Maybe go back to Jerusalem. Everything would be fine. But instead they turn their attention heavenward, as Tertullian would put it. With faith, Paul and Silas pray and sing hymns. Singing and praying are responses of faith, which emerge from hope, which is sustained by faith. Faith dwells not just on the past, but looks to the future, where Jesus reigns as Lord. When God raises Jesus from the dead, God is not just doing something in the present. God is revealing the future. We know our future by the resurrected Jesus Christ. We don't know all the events that will take place between now and then, but we know what the end is. It's not death, because death doesn't get the last word. It's life in Jesus Christ. Faith dwells not just on the past, but looks to the future where Jesus Christ reigns as Lord, which allows then Paul and Silas to live in the present in these terrible circumstances, to live in the present, bearing witness to the world, not as the world is, but as the world will one day be in fullness when Jesus Christ comes again and all things are made new. And so praying and singing while chained in stocks opens the eyes and the ears of the jailer and his household to see and hear the promise of salvation that God is extending in Jesus Christ. And what seemed like a terrible, terrible day for everyone has turned out to be a wonderful day. Because now the jailer and his household get to participate in the salvation of God. Here's where, you know, I mean, I could preach a sermon about our individual lives. And there's a point to be made that if you want to see your life turn around, look to Jesus and see what the future is going to be. Believe in Jesus and give your life to Jesus. Be baptized into Jesus. There's also a point here that to be made about the church, because Luke is writing Acts for churches. Churches that already believe in Jesus. Churches that are trying to live on mission with Jesus. And ask the question of, what does that look like? But today, some churches are having bad days, right? There are spots in the sanctuary, as many people call it, that were once occupied by church members, and now they're empty. Christians leave their church gatherings. They step back into a society where public prayers have been replaced with, let's have a moment of silence. Morality has become relative, and the notion of truth has been relegated to a game of my truth or alternative facts. And I could go on and on, but we all understand Christianity in our society, the society we live in, is in decline, while secularism is on the incline. And so churches find themselves in a very challenging time, and that includes our church as well. And I'm a realist, so I'm not going to sugarcoat reality just so that we can feel better. Pretending is just that, it's pretending. It's not real. But I'm also a Christian. I firmly believe in the crucified, resurrected, and exalted Jesus Christ, who reigns as Lord forever. Forever. That at the end, God wins and we win with God. And so I have hope. And having hope means I don't give up. And neither should you if you believe in Jesus Christ. Instead, we continue to live in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the life we're called to live. No matter how bad the circumstances may seem, no matter how hopeless it seems, we know we are not hopeless because God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and exalted him as Lord. And so we do not give up. We live with hope. We live in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So no matter how challenging the present circumstances of our church or Christianity as a whole, I see an opportunity for God to work redemptively for his glory, because I believe God is already at work. We just have to see it. But we have choices. Just like Paul and Silas had choices. We can dwell on the past. Oh, if we could just go back to like it was 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30. We could dwell on the past and see what we've lost. Or we can dwell on the future from which our hope in Christ rests, allowing us to live as followers of Jesus in the present, just as Paul and Silas were doing. So I like to think of the Christian faith as a journey, because our salvation really has a destination, right? Our salvation has a destination, which is the new creation. That kind of rhymes. Our salvation has a destination, which is the new creation. But journey requires travel. Journey is never static. Journey requires us to keep moving. And I don't know about you, but I better watch myself. I might take a journey to the ER. When I travel, I think about where I'm going. I don't think about where I've been. I think about where I'm going, because thinking about where I'm going allows me to navigate the present. With now we have GPS, which lets us know, hey, there's a lot of traffic up here. You might want to choose an alternative route. Or, as my wife loves this, let's leave at 3 in the morning. That way we can get through Chicago anyway without traffic. When I travel, I look ahead. I don't dwell on what's behind, but I look ahead so that I can navigate in the present and reach the destination. When we travel, we face forward, looking to the horizon of our destination so that we can navigate the present. I'm thankful for what has taken place, or let me say, I'm thankful for what has taken place in the past, because God has worked in the past to bring us to where we are in the present. The present may not be the most desirable of circumstances. They certainly weren't for Paul and Silas. I don't think anybody wakes up and say, yay, today I get to be whipped and thrown into prison. How lucky. But staying focused on the future and investing in that future allows us to live in the present in such a way that others begin to see the work of God. Staying focused on the future gives us the strength through the Spirit to live as followers of Jesus in whatever present circumstances we find ourselves. You see, I believe that God is always at work in the world for his redemptive good. Now, that does not mean that everything in life is good. We know that's not the case. There are bad things that happen in life. It doesn't mean that God causes all things to happen. God does not cause cancer. God does not cause a terrible traffic accident. God does not cause people to go out, kill indiscriminately. These are terrible things. But I believe that God is at work in all things for the redemptive good, for his redemptive good and his glory. Our participation is to live in such a manner that space is open for others to begin seeing the good news of Jesus Christ. Just like Paul and Silas were living in prison in such a way that the jailer began to see. Now, at first, he didn't know what he's seeing. In fact, he thinks Paul and Silas possessed the divine power to save him. That just created an occasion for Paul to say, no, we can't save you. But if you believe in the Lord, Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. I believe God's always at work, and our participation is to live in such a manner that others begin to see the work of God. Our participation as a church is to live and function in such a manner that others will see the good news of Jesus Christ being lived in us. They may not know at first why it is we live the way we live, why it is we would commit to radically loving one another. But that just gives us an opportunity to say, here's why. Because there's this man named Jesus. He's really God in the flesh, a mystery. But God came to this earth and became one of us in the person of Jesus. And he went around loving others without any discrimination, healing, driving out demons, so that people would be free of the agony. Some people didn't like that. And he wound up being arrested, was crucified, killed on a cross. But death had no power over him. God raised him from death, exalted him as Lord. And so we follow Jesus. And if you want to know why we are the way we are, it's because of Jesus. Because of who we believe Jesus is. The life he calls us to live. I'm not worried about the present circumstances of our church or any church of Christianity in America. The circumstances may get worse before they get better. But I believe God's at work. Now I have concerns. I have concerns when I see Christians acting as though life is hopeless, or living in ways that aren't Christ-like, because that just betrays our witness. That just makes matters worse. But I'm not worried about the present circumstances. I firmly believe that if we'll just keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Run that race. And by the way, you cannot run two races at the same time. You can try, but you got to choose which race you're going to run. If we'll keep our eyes firmly fixed on the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, which is always oriented towards the future, we will live as witnesses in the present. And then we can trust that God is at work to take our witness and open space for his mission to advance with us as his participants. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Let's stand, let's sing together.